Then he says over in Luke 24, I think verse 44, he said, Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, he said, they wrote about me. The Pharisees had a hard time with that. But the Lord said, they wrote about me. So I want to look at the beauties of Christ in the book of Leviticus. Let's go down to the leper colony, if you will, in verse Leviticus 13 and verse number 44. And leave your Bible open and we'll chase this leper around till we finally get him saved. In verse 44, he's a leprous man. He's trying to draw your attention to just the condition that he's in. He is full of disease. Actually, what this leprous man is a reflection of the soul of a man that's never been saved. He's ate up with infections and diseases. He's a leprous man. He's unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. Can't get worse than that. His plague is in his head. I think I've met a few of those. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare. And he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean. Unclean. And all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. Now go with me to chapter 14, verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this is the law of the leper. This is the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. The priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds, alive and clean, cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and shall dip them into the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. He shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Find me another man in the Bible that's in worse shape above ground than this man. I don't think you can find one. You have to go below ground over in Leviticus, over in Luke chapter 16, to the man that's gone to hell to find a man in worse shape. Makes, when you look at him and the place that he's in, it almost makes you believe in some type of purgatory because he hasn't left us. But he's not among us. He's somewhere between living and dying. He is somewhere between living and eternity. For his sinful state is a very miserable state that he's in. The Apostle Paul would look at him and he would say this, he's dead in his sins. So you've got the sinner with the leprosy, and you say, well, how in the world did he ever get there? He committed an act of uncleanness. He's in a camp that is far, far from the home that he was raised in. This is a story of the prodigal son, so to speak, because if you turn back over to Leviticus chapter 11 and look at verse 1, he is sitting listening to a preacher. He is sitting listening to a sermon. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron saying, And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel. And he preaches to them in Leviticus chapter 11. So we find him sitting there with his mom, with his dad. You find him in Leviticus chapter 11, he's sitting there with his wife or with his children. He's sitting there with his friends. And he heard Aaron preach this whole chapter of 11 to him. And no doubt in his mind, he's probably sitting there saying, well, I wish this long-winded preacher would finally get through with his sermon. And finally, when he gets down to the close of that sermon in Leviticus 11, he hears him say, in conclusion, I am the Lord your God. You shall be holy because I am holy. You shall not defile yourself with the creeping things of earth, making a difference between the clean and the unclean. And so he heard the conclusion to that sermon. Now we find him sitting all alone, unclean, corrupt. He was sitting in the house of God, and now he's in a horrible pit, and he just got there in two chapters. It didn't take him long to go from sitting in the house of God to go down into this hog pen that he's in. He's sitting outside the camp of the children of God. He's out there with the others. I notice there's only two places that he could be in. He's either in or he's out. There was no in between. You were either in or you were out. You were either in the camp or you were out of the camp. There was no halfway. You were either in or out with nothing in between. So the leper is sitting there in that Leviticus chapter 13. The leopard is sitting there, and he looks over that gulf that's fixed between him and the camp. Don't think he can't see them. He can see his friends. He can see his family. He can see them. He would pass over if he could, but he cannot. If he had a chance to go back and do it all over again, he would go back to Leviticus chapter 11, verse 1, sitting with his family and friends. So he comes to the gulf. He comes to the fence that separates the two camps. And you can hear him as he leans over the fence and he says, go tell my brethren, go tell my brothers not to come here. Go testify to them of this place of torment. Go tell them to obey the word of God, because if they hear not Moses, neither will they be persuaded. And you can hear that pitiful cry of him warning his friends and his family not to come. The Bible pays attention to his clothes. His clothes are rent. A picture of his righteousness is totally shredded. These are not clean garments that he has on. He's wearing distressed jeans. The threads are showing, and the hips and the thighs and the knees are peeking out through his clothes. It's the style of lepers. The only thing holy about him is his skivvies, and they're breathing air. The Bible pays attention to his conversation. Everything that comes out of his mouth is unclean. Every sinful sound that he speaks is ungodly. Paul, over in the book of Romans, he lifts the lid off this sepulcher and looks down into his throat and looks at the sights and the sounds and the smells, and it just shocks you at the description of Paul. But he said there's poison words. He said their mouth is full of cursing, bitter sounds. Because cursing is the language of lepers. And his companions? His companions, there's none righteous. There's nobody out in that leper camp that's righteous. No, not one. He hangs with the lepers. They all look alike. They all sound alike. They all act alike. They all walk alike. They're all dead in their trespasses and sins. They've all joined themselves to the citizens of that camp. They go out and feed the swines together. They sing the songs of the drunkards. No man will give unto them. And you find them dwelling all alone. And so you look at the state that he's in. And you look at the place that he's in. The situation that he's in. And you say, can he get out? Can any good come from it? This leper camp, this sinful world, this hell above ground, this horrible pit that he's in, this plague that's in his head. Any hope? Is he doomed forever? Is he damned forever? Helpless? Yes. Hopeless? No. Because the Bible says in chapter 14 and verse 1, it said, there's the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. Do you know what God Almighty did in the love of God that He has for lepers and for sinners? He gives him a way out. He shows him there's a way out of that situation, as impossible as it looks, as horrible as it is. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is too hard for God. And God looks at him and He calls it the day of His cleansing. Now look here what happens. Look back in chapter 13. Look at verse 45. Watch what happens. And the leper, in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bare, he shall put a covering upon his upper lips and cry, unclean and unclean. All the days when the plague shall be him, he shall be unclean. Now just go over to chapter 14, look in verse 11. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. We just saw him dwelling alone, and now he's standing in the doorway of the tabernacle. He's done come from way far back to way up close. He's done left that leper camp, and now he's up there where God dwells. He's standing there clean. We read about how unclean he was, but in chapter 14, verse 11, he's clean. He's a clean man. He's walking into the door of the church. You ever dreamed the way you used to live that you'd ever be enjoying walking in the doors of the church? I bet you everybody in that camp, when they saw that leper standing in the doorway of the church, they said, man, I never would have believed he would have come. I never would have believed he would have got back in, standing there with the winds of God blowing. Listen, where sin abounds, grace does so much more abound. God brought him out, washed those old rent garments, washed those old nasty garments, and there he's standing there clean. Somebody's child is back in the camp. Somebody's husband is back in the camp. Somebody's wife's back in the camp. I never will forget, years ago, I had a street mission in downtown Houston for 15 years. Now, I never will forget going down under a bridge. Those boys and girls would go down there and they'd live under them bridges. I met an old boy down there, his name was Richard Ballou, sleeping and living under the bridge. He used to tell me that he would go to the bread lines and he'd get his suit and he'd get the bread. He'd put the bread in his pockets so that he could have something to eat in the midnight if he woke up hungry. He said time and time again when he woke up, he said the rats would be down in his pockets eating the bread that he was trying to save. And old Richard, I made friends with him under that bridge, and I brought him up there to my little old street church. And old Richard started hanging around, and well, we cleaned him up. He hadn't bathed in I don't know how long. Just a leper man. Brought him to church one Wednesday night, and I'll never forget. I'm sitting back at Richard standing up on that front row right beside old Brother Call Wright. And old Richard Ballou dropped down on his knee. He'd been drinking. He was 42 years old, been drinking. His daddy got him drunk when he was 12 years old, been drunk all his life. And old Richard Ballou got born again. God saved him. So Alan Stewart down in Pensacola, Florida, called me to come down there and preach for him years ago. And I took old Richard with me. Then old Richard went down to Pensacola, and I started that meeting a couple of nights into it. I asked Brother Alan, I said, "Do you mind if my friend Richard gets up and gives a testimony?" And Richard got up in Brother Alan Stewart's church, nigh full of just clean people. Richard was standing up there on that platform, and I'm sitting there, and in my mind, I could still see him under the bridge. I could still see those old nasty clothes. I could still see the dirt in his hands and in his hair. And he's standing up there, and he's giving his testimony about how God had saved him. And then he got into this little roll, he said, "I broke my mama's heart." And then he would give a little testimony. Then he would stop and he would say, "I broke my mama's heart." And then he would testify and then he would say, "And I broke my mama's heart." Now, I'm telling you, deep into that testimony, every mama in that place got up and came to that altar and got down on their knees and began to weep over their children, over their friends, over their family. And I watched the grace of God go down up under an old nasty bridge and bring him up out of that old leprosy camp and stand him up, walking him through the doorways of the church. Oh, there's a day of cleansing for the leper. There's a day of cleansing. The day of the cleansing, in verse number 2 said, it said there was a day. This shall be the law of the leper in the day. Do you remember the day you got saved? I mean, there was a day. It was a day when you came out of all that darkness and depravity. There was a day when you came out and you came in. Do you think that this man didn't know when he came out? You don't think he didn't know when he left that leper camp and came into the courts and stood before that tabernacle? Do you think for one moment that he didn't know the day that he was washed? And that now he is clean. You don't think that experience can be forgotten? Listen, do you think he didn't know the day that those clothes were suddenly clean? How you forget the day when God washes your sins away? How do you forget such a day? Did you know in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul gets saved? All the commentaries say that was the year 36 A.D. In Acts chapter 26, they say that year is 58 A.D. That's 22 years later. 22 years after the Apostle Paul gets saved, he's given his testimony. And he even remembers the day. He said it was midday. He said it was just before noon. He remembered the time of day when he got saved. He said it happened. He said, "I looked at my watch." He said, "It was right before noon." He said, "I remember when I got saved." He not only remembered the time, but he remembered the weather. He said there was the brightness of the sun. He said, "What, the cloud in the sky?" He recalled to the minute the minute detail. He remembered it 22 years later. He remembers where it happened. Nigh unto Damascus. He said, "I was on the road right outside of Damascus." He remembers what happened. He said, "When I got up off my knees," he said, "I couldn't see." He said, "I never did see like I used to see." He remembers who saved him. He said, "I heard a voice that said, 'I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus.'" And he said, "I can't even remember what he said to me." He said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" 22 years later, the Apostle Paul remembers every detail. You know, sometimes my little heart gets dry. Our Christian life will get a little dry on us sometimes. We go through them spells. We're not always on Sinai, up yonder where the thunder and the lightning is. You know what I do when I go through them dry spells? I get in my little old prayer corner, And I go back to the very day I remember. I can remember the clothes I was wearing. I remember the car I was driving. I remember the highway I drove down. I remember the church doors I walked in. I remember every detail of it. And by the time I get to the end, when I finally walk down that aisle and got saved, I'm telling you, the wind's blowing in my heart again. And it's not dry no more. It's a happy, happy day. You never forget the day when you were utterly unclean. He was utterly unclean. You don't forget that day. He was dwelling alone. You don't forget that day when you're down there all alone, and the next thing you know, you're up there at the tabernacle with the priests and the sons and the others. He never forgot those rent clothes. He had nothing decent. He never forgot that he was plagued all day long. It was in his head and nothing was going right for him. So the question is, my sermon, is how did he get from this leper colony in chapter 13, verse 44, 45, all the way over to 14, chapter 11, where he is standing before the Lord and he's washed and he's clean? How did he get there? Well, the Bible said there was a day when the priest went forth. That's when the priest that was in the tabernacle, he was in that tabernacle where the Lord's presence was dwelling, right behind the curtain. He was in there where the candlesticks were lit and the fire with the light of God was shining. He was in that tabernacle where the presence of God was dwelling. He was in there where the peace of God, you could feel the peace of God. He was in there where everything was just full of fellowship and glory. And you know what this priest did? He left it. He left that tabernacle. And he left that presence. And he left that peace. And he left that glory. And he left and he went out of the camp and he went down to the leper camp. When that priest went down, he had three things with him. He had a book, he had a basket, and he had a basin. You still got your Bible? Look over at Hebrews chapter 5, would you? I hate to ask you to labor with me in this sermon, but I'll guarantee you get a little profit out of it. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. The priest has left the tabernacle. He's left the glory. Verse 5 of Hebrews 5. For every high priest is taken from among men, is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. There was a man down there in that leper camp that had no God. And so he goes down there with things pertaining to God that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. That's the priest that we're reading about in Leviticus 14. That's him. He left the beauty of that tabernacle to go down into that depraved camp. He went down with gifts. He went down with things pertaining to God. He went down with sacrifices for sins. He went down there to get a lowly leper. And the leper's only hope is if the priest goes forth. Did you know your only hope is if that priest comes forth? Your only hope is if that priest comes forth and comes walking into the camp where you and I sit. You and I sit in our sins, sit in our troubles. The prodigal son could not come in the house until the father left the house. The father went outside the house before he couldn't come in until the father went out. The father had to put shoes on him. The father had to put a robe on him before he could ever come into the house. And so the priest goes outside the camp to find the leper. Jesus is looking round about for them who touch him. And so here comes the priest. You can see him. He's got a book in his hand. He's got a basket hooked on his belt. He's got a little basin. And he's walking down through the leper camp. And there sits a lonely little leper, dwelling all alone. And that leper, when that priest comes by, that old leper just kind of leans out down upon his knees. And you could see him reaching out, trying to touch him. He knew he wasn't going to stay there, but he's going to reach out and he's going to try to touch the priest. The leper finally came to himself. He got so tired of dwelling alone. So tired of those old rent clothes. So tired of those swine-loving friends. He got so tired of being unclean. He got tired of being plagued all day. He got tired of his head and the things that were going on in his head. So the leper just stands there. He picks himself up and he's standing before the priest that had left the tabernacle to come down there with things pertaining to God. And the leper's standing there holding his hands out and he's got nothing to offer him. Nothing. He's got absolutely nothing. He can't even wash himself. He can't even cleanse himself. He's standing there in all of his leprosy. He has not one good deed that he can offer the priest that he has done with hopes that he could get back into the camp. He wants out of the life that he's in. He wants out of the mess that he's in. But he doesn't know how to do it. So the priest opens up his little book. And the book tells him what he's got to do. And the priest obeys the commandments. He obeys the Word of God to the letter. And the book told him, take two birds. The book said, take two birds with you when you go down to the leper camp. And so he's got a little basket with him, and there's two little birds. Those two little birds. You see, when that priest left that tabernacle and went down that leper camp, he went down fully equipped to save anybody that would come to him on the spot. And so he's got these two little birds in this cage. And they're beautiful little birds. They're colorful little birds. And they're in there just whistling, chirping. They're in there just singing. They're in there innocent, clean. They ain't never hurt nobody. They're faultless. They're so tame. And the priest reaches into that basket. And he gets one of those little birds, and he pulls him out. And standing before that leper, he just pulls his head off. He pulls his head off, and he takes that little bird, and he turns it up, and he just kind of squeezes on him, and he drips that blood into a basin. Now, the thing to notice is there's no altar out there. There's no place to sacrifice. Because, you see, God's going to save him outside the camp before he ever comes in. The priest is not going to get him into the tabernacle to save him. He's going to save him out there right where he's at. So he pours that blood into that little basin, into that earthen vessel, into that running water. And now he's holding that basin. And it's got blood and water in it. And it's just blood and water. It's blood and water that's come forth. And so the Word says he takes hyssop and scarlet and cedar and he dips it in that basin with that blood and that water. And then he takes it and he sprinkles it on that leper 7 times. And you can just hear that priest on that 7th time when he leans into the ear of that leper and he says, it's finished. It's finished. And then that priest looks at that leper that we just read about that is so nasty. And the Bible said the priest pronouncing clean. He hadn't heard those words in a long time. It's been a long time since anybody said, you look clean, you smell clean. He pronounces him clean. Listen, that doesn't have a ring to you unless you've ever been dirty. That doesn't have a ring down in the soul unless you've been down in that leper camp. That doesn't move your emotions unless you've been washed and had all that leprosy washed off for you. Why, it just makes you want to shout. He just saved him right there, right exactly where he was at. And while he's standing there, the priest takes the living bird He takes that living bird and he's holding it in his hands and he dips it down in that water and that blood. And now when you look at that little living bird, it's got blood stains on it. It looks like scars running down his wings. And that priest turns and he looks at that leper and he says, "Follow me. Follow me." And he takes him, he leads him out into an open field. And only after the bird had died, after the first bird had died, does he take the second bird. And standing there in the presence of that leper, he takes that little bird and he turns him loose and he flies into the heavens, away from this earth. And that leper that is standing there that is now clean, when that bird takes flight, he turns his eyes upward and all his affections go to things above. He watches that bird fly into the heavens. And all of a sudden now the heavens has got all of his attention. And that bird is flying free. And the bird is flying away from that camp. The bird is flying away from the world. The bird is flying away from those old clothes. That bird is flying away from them old companions. And the bird is flying away from that old conversation, that old unclean conversation. And he feels the liberty because now the burden has been lifted and it's gone. And he just feels like flying. And he feels the wind of God. He feels the breath of God. He feels the warmth of the sun. He feels like singing like a bird because God has now put a song in his heart. And he's free. For the first time in his life, he's free. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free. Indeed. So the leopard had to know. The leopard had to know that something had to die for something to live. The leper had to know that he was saved because something died and something is now living. And if you go on and read verse 8, the first words that the priest now says to the leper that's now clean, the first words he says to him is, "Wash. Wash. Come and wash." You know the second thing he says to him? "Shave off all that hair. Shave off that old life. Wash that old life. Shave it all off." And I invite you to recall the day when Jesus washed your sins away. I invite you to recall the day, the experience, the joy when God lifted that burden off of you and He washed you. And for the first time in your life, you felt clean, washed from the old leprosy of sin. I'm telling you, my friends, there's nothing like being saved. There's nothing like the presence of the Lord Jesus. There's nothing like looking at the pictures of it in the Old Testament. It is the joy of God. It is the grand eternal atonement joy of God that God would come into this world and walk down into our camp and save our souls. Piano player, would you come? Would you bow your heads with me? I pray tonight that you know the joy of such a salvation. I pray tonight that you know the thrill of God washing your soul away. Maybe tonight you'd just like to thank Him for saving you and washing you and making you clean. It's a day of His cleansing. And for all of us been saved, there was a day of our cleansing when He washed those sins away.